Thought for today. Don't believe in appearances. Please don't believe in appearances. Don't believe in appearances. Because they'll fool you. They'll fool you. I gave an illustration this morning of this father beating his son. And the whole crowd of people were standing there watching him as he was beating his son. He was just beating him with a machete. You know what a machete is? That's a knife that you go in the jungle with. It's got a long blade on. He's going like this, and he's hitting at his son. And all the audience said, "What are you doing?" And the boy, he's screaming, "Dad, dad, oh, oh, oh," just hollering his head off. And what was the thing? The father was chopping his son up. And then the crowd came forward to stop the father. The son didn't seem to be injured at all. And they found that the father was chopping at a giant rattlesnake that was lying between him and his son, and he was putting the rattlesnake to shreds. Now, everyone in that crowd was ready to crucify the father because they thought that he was chopping his son up. He was beating his son. He was hurting his son. They saw it with their own eyes. They even saw the blood on the machete that he was chopping away at. And they came upon him, and they saw him cutting up a rattlesnake that had frightened his son and that was perhaps going to strike his son. Probably not, but anyhow, it frightened his son. And he was there to protect his son. Now, if they had not walked up to the man and his son, they would not have known what he was doing. The appearance was that he was hurting his son very badly. And the son was shrieking and crying and so unhappy that you surely thought the father was doing something terrible to the son. But the son was merely unhappy with the thought of a rattlesnake so close to him that it frightened him. And he screamed his head off, bloody murder. And what happened? Nothing. The crowd came up and said, "Oh!" And they applauded the father for taking away the thing that frightened his son. And the boy stood there, "Oh, good." Deep sigh and a deep breath. His father had done the saving deed for him. Now, the rattlesnake would not have hurt the boy. Perhaps it might have hurt the boy because he was so frightened and hollering and screaming, but it wouldn't have hurt the boy. It wouldn't have done anything. It would have just crawled away because it was more frightened of the father and son than they were of it. And you say, how could it be more frightened? The father killed it. Well, we oftentimes kill things that we're frightened of. And the thing that we kill is not going to hurt us at all. How many times does a woman scream her head off, "There's a mouse in my kitchen! There's a mouse in my kitchen!" And her husband comes running out to the kitchen to catch the mouse. And there's a mouse there. But the poor little guy is frightened to death. He says, "Where's the hole? I want to get out here. I want to get out." You know? And we have all these appearances that just mess us up. We all know that many people can see an accident and come up with a different opinion. Standing virtually 2 inches apart from each other, they still come up with a different story because the background they have of that incident, of something similar to that, gives them the clue as to what's going on and what's happening. So, the appearances. The appearances are so difficult to look at and believe in. But we've been taught to believe in appearances. If you can touch it, it's real. If you can't touch it, it's not real. This morning I said to Ellen, "You're not here at the table. You're off in Switzerland visiting your family." She said, "You're right." She was sitting at the table with us, but she wasn't there. Her mind was far away. Now, was she really at the table, or was she far away? Or was she both? Can she be both? Do we have the capacity to be? Do we have the capacity to be even more things? Sure we do. Sure we do. Do we do this? Do we do those things? Sure. Many people have been pronounced dead, and then they come back, maybe in an hour, maybe later. They're in a coma, or they're in an out-of-body experience, and they've left their body behind, allowing the autonomic nervous system to operate the body so that it functions good. But people look at that body and say, well, they're dead. Uncle Joe is dead. Aunt Minnie is dead. And then they're sitting there having a cup of coffee in the other room, and the door opens, and there comes Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe, what are you doing? You're supposed to be dead. What? I'm not dead. You can see that. But you're supposed to be dead. You had no pulse. You had nothing. It's interesting. I'm here. I'm quite alive. But you got to be dead. You're supposed to be dead. You know, we want our appearances to be real. We demand that they be real, even if we don't want them to be real. We don't want Uncle Joe to be dead. But he was dead. He was pronounced dead, so therefore he should be dead. The doctor says, you're going to have this terrible illness, and it's going to kill you, and there won't be anything left for you. And so we plan and having that happen to us, and sure enough, it happens. Then somebody else comes along, perhaps another doctor, perhaps a metaphysical healer or something, and they say, hey, whatever you want, you name it and claim it. Now, if you had let status quo, if this metaphysical healer didn't come along, or this other doctor didn't come along, and whatever was going to happen happened, the person probably would have died. How come, under one soliloquy, on one sequence, they could live, and another, they die? And another, they're sick, or another, they're well. How come? These are all just choices. These are all just choices of appearances that we may have. We can have the choice of any appearance that we feel is exciting. And if we want that choice of an appearance, we can have it. You know, in the old movies, they used to have the lover in the room, and the husband would come home, and the lover would go and hide behind the curtain. And we could see him perfectly well. We could see his shoes sticking out under the curtain and everything. And the husband comes home, and the husband isn't supposed to know about it, so he doesn't know about it. And then he goes back to work, and then the lover comes out again. And then the husband peeks through the window and sees and knows what was going on, which he knew what was going on. But the appearances were that there was no one there. But he knew in his heart that there was somebody there. So when he sneak previewed the window, he found that there was indeed someone there. Now, the appearances were that there was nobody there. The appearances, even though the guy's shoes were sticking out underneath the curtain, the husband didn't see it. The appearances of two ruffled heads on two ruffled pillows, his wife just had a busy, you know, rolling over in bed, sleeping on two pillows. Have you ever slept on two pillows? Sure, lots of people have. So, I mean, it's poof, I was just sleeping on two pillows, you know, big deal. What were you doing in bed, middle of the day? Well, I felt like it. You want to go to bed too? Of course not, I have work to do. Well, whatever you want to do. You see, the appearances. We believe in these appearances. We want these appearances. How many times have you walked down that street before and seen the way the trees were? And then in your mind's eye, you walk down that street again, and the trees are just as beautiful as they were. And you just go along, and everything is so beautiful. And then one day you go back there, like I did when I went back to Wauwatosa. And the street in front of our house, which had been a giant arching elm trees all the way up the street, all the way to school, two and a half blocks away, they were all gone. The elm trees had elm disease. And poof, they were all gone. Now they planted new trees there, but they're only about 10 years old. And those new trees are going to take a long time before they do anything, but they'll never be like those elm trees. They'll never be like them because those elm trees had their own special way of having their archway over the top of the street and over the top of the sidewalk. It was so beautiful. It was so wonderful. We had watched it all of our growing up years. We were really enjoying it. And as we were enjoying it, this was part of our growing up, as part of our childhood. In my mind's eye, that picture is still there. I can still see all those elm trees. I can still see them when I was a little child, and when I was a middle child, and when I was an older child. And when I was an adult, and I came back from the Navy, ha, that's our street. And I look out the front window, big picture window, big for that day, for those days. And then you look out, and there you see the whole street in all its glory. It's an appearance. It's an appearance. The appearance is still in my mind. The appearance is still in my heart. The appearance is still in my world. But it's, in fact, not there anymore. Now, what's the difference between, in fact, in your mind, in your heart, the appearance as a, let's say, reality? What's the difference of these things? What's the difference of these things? All of these things are as much illusion, one as the other. Each is a pure, wonderful illusion. Now, we will hear reports of wars and reports of conflicts and reports of problems in the world. And as we hear these things, we can empower them by our belief, or we can empower them by the statement that everything is in divine order. When we empower them with the statement, everything is in divine order, divine order! Not human order or not right order, but divine order. See, there's no right and wrong in divine. There is no humanness in divine, which is on emotions. It's in divine order. What is the divine pattern for those particular actions on the archetypal level? Oh boy, that's kind of highfalutin, isn't it? Now, what is it? What is the archetypal concept of them? Hey, makes no difference. Your archetypal concept may be different from my archetypal concept. Do you understand that? There can be many archetypal concepts because the archetypal concept belongs to the archetype. That's called the architect. Whatever you want to create it as, you create it. And for you, that's what it is. For you, that's exactly what it is. No more and no less. Now, we have situations in our world where told that our father was taken away as a murderer. We're told that our father is taken away as a bandit. We're told that our father has died. We're told that our father has remarried. We're told all sorts of different things. Now, for each thing that we're told, it could be. It could be. What do we want? What is the illusion? What is the appearance in our heart? Do we want to have a case, or do we want to have a circumstance where all is in divine order? Not my order, which it could be, not yours, nothing else. It's in divine order. When it's in divine order, then it is beyond what you can imagine it to be, or what I can imagine. If it is in divine order, can there ever be anything incorrect? Anything astray? Can there ever be any misjudgment? Can there ever be anything which is misunderstood? No. Because in divine order, it exceeds any attitude we can have in our physical world. It exceeds any attitude we can have, any awareness we can have. It exceeds anything. Now, what is all that? You have a circumstance, and you're told that your father died. You want him dead? Then accept. You don't want him dead? My father lives. My father lives. You say he's dead. Perhaps he's only sleeping. My father lives. My father lives. But, hey, that's a bunch of garbage. Who do you think you are, God or something? That's right. That's right. Can you say my father lives and have him live? Sure. Can you say my mother is whole and perfect and have her be whole and perfect? Right now? Can you say I'm independently wealthy and have it be so? These are things that we teach you here. To put the cause in motion for whatever it is that is important to you. Now, do you do it? Not really. You say, oh, but this is a real case. My dad died and he's in the coffin and he's, you know, being buried. My dad lives. He opens the coffin, climbs out. He says, what the hell is this stuff? You're putting formaldehyde inside my system. You know, that's not too cool. You know what formaldehyde is? That's what they put in place of your blood. It's so that you won't stink. You won't decay as fast. But, okay, so he lives. Could you live even with formaldehyde in your blood? And then, click, you have blood again. Click, you have anything you want. But Herb, that is something that only Jesus could do, or only some magician could do, or something like that. That's what you think, that's what you have. Now, you're here in school. This is a school. And you're here to practice these things. Not all at once, but just step by step. You're here to practice. So now, why don't we practice? Why don't we take some appearance and say to it, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. And mean it, mean it, mean it. Jump up and down the mountains, all is in divine order. Go around, all is in divine order. All is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. Get ourselves to believe it. Because we hear the appearances that it's not in divine order. We see the appearances that it's not in divine order. We hear the limitation of the circumstance. So we start changing our attitude about it, changing our thinking by saying, all is in divine order. And as we do this, we put a new cause in motion. And with the new cause in motion, what comes out of it? A new circumstance, a new appearance. Well, gee, Herb, if my dad was in the coffin and he got up and came out of there, I'd be kind of surprised, you know. Dad, you know. Happens all the time. You don't hear about it because nobody believes it. But you go ahead and look at some of these books by some far-out authors who research far-out things. And you'll find there's a lot of that sort of stuff that goes on. There'll be a lot of people who have ascended too, right in front of others, their relatives or friends or followers. Ascended, poof. And the followers don't dare say they ascended. Because if they said that, then you'd say, well, you're just worshiping that person, and you had them disappear because that was a pleasant way for you to say that they were divine. Well, they're divine anyhow. You see, we make excuses for believing in the truth. We make excuses for believing in the false. We make excuses. Now, I say to Ingeborg, I say, Ingeborg, what's your sister's name?
Hannelore.
Hannelore. Took a while for it to come out, but I guess that's okay. Probably haven't spoken her name for a while. Now, Ingeborg tells me that Hannelore is sick in bed. That's the letter she received. So she thinks Hannelore is sick in bed. Well, Ingeborg is such an idiot. She doesn't realize it took 6 days for that letter to get to her. Hannelore is now back at work. She's now having a mad, passionate love affair with her dearest and best. And she is whole and perfect. So Ingeborg, in all her loving gentleness, writes, Dear Hannelore, I'm sorry to hear that you're feeling so badly. And Hannelore writes back, Ingeborg, get with it. You know, that's yesterday's news. And you're acting upon ancient history. Come on, wake up, Ingeborg. And Ingeborg says, oh, I like that. I like to hear that. Why not do it right away? The minute you get word that someone is having a problem, you just take that letter and rip it up and put in your consciousness a new letter. In fact, write yourself a new letter and sign it, Hannelore. Dear Ingeborg, I feel wonderful. I have never felt as great in my whole life. I'm surrounded by beautiful men. I'm surrounded by beautiful circumstances. I am the wealthiest girl around. I feel fantastic. And then what would happen, Ingeborg? Exactly. As you put that cause in motion, as you realistically put it in motion in every way that you can, she is it. That's nice. She is it. Can you do that? Sure you can. Are you going to do that? Probably not. You've been so accustomed to taking things as they are. Now, Anita put some trees on the hillside here. In Anita's eyes, those trees are all growing beautifully. But in the world's eyes, some of them are dying. And so then Anita goes over to her horse people, and she says, what am I going to do? Some of my trees are dying. And they said, well, pay us lots of money. We'll come over and make them live. And he says, oh, good, good, good. So they said they'd be here Wednesday and take care of it. And were they here yesterday? Interesting, huh?
They said Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, we saw them in the Home Depot, and they said Wednesday.
That was George, but John told me Wednesday or Thursday.
That's nice. Okay, now you see, Sylvia was working on different information than we were working on. We were working on the information from George, and George is obviously not a reliable person. He's not the kind of person that you'd take information from. So now, where did George get the idea that they were coming over here on Wednesday when they were going to come over here on Thursday? In his mind, that was the game he was playing. He visualized himself coming over here on Wednesday. Now, John, who apparently pulls the punches and says when whatever's going to be is ever going to be, he said, no, we're coming on Thursday. Now, what does this mean? This means that we put the causes in motion for whatever we want. We make the decisions, and we change the decisions. So what might have been an appearance yesterday is not an appearance today. And what might be an appearance today won't be an appearance tomorrow. And today that plant is up there looking just as gorgeous as can be. And tomorrow we may move it. What would happen if we moved it? We'd move it. Big deal. But if we don't move it, we don't move it. See, the appearances are always there. The appearances of all the plants. Now, what have we got in this room here? It's hard to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, that I can see, 17. 17 plants in these two rooms. 17 plants. Now, if Ingeborg has her way, she may move a couple of these over to the Shangri-La so she can have some pretty plants there. Now, then I might only have 15 plants or 14 plants. The appearance is that I have 17 plants in here. I counted them. But is that true? Is that really true? Think about it. This plant here, it's growing real nice, but I think it's getting a little root-bound. So we may cut it up into four plants and then stick it back in there and let it grow four plants then. Who knows? Who knows what we'll do? Who knows what wonderful opportunities come our way and that we express ourselves in our... But today, that's one plant. Thick, luxuriant plant. Tomorrow, it may be four plants, maybe eight. All depends on how sharp a knife we have, and how many plants we think we'd like to have. But these are all illusions. These are all appearances. And the appearance is that that plant is all one plant right there, right now. But tomorrow, what might it be? You see, We create our own appearances. We create everything that we do in our life. Every appearance, every attitude, every thought we have. If you have news from anybody, like Gertrude gave us news, and Gertrude said that Stefan is looking at different jobs and that Irene didn't take the job that was offered to her because they didn't take her. Well, No. Now, what are we going to say? What did we say? Last night, when we heard this, we said, no. That's Irene's job. She's got it. We see her there. It's done. Does she have the job? None of you are enthusiastically shaking your head and saying yes, but yes, she's got the job. If we don't believe in our own statement, then of course she doesn't have the job. Now, do we believe in our own statement? Does she have the job?
Yes.
Think of this too. Ellen is having some interesting experiences. Her family is going through some very needful circumstances at the moment, by their choice. And so what do we say? We say all is in divine order in the Jeremini household. In this broader household, in this smaller household, everything is in divine order. Now, is there anything wrong with Mariella and Diego and the kids? No. Anything wrong with the families at all? No. What's the matter? Well, that we'll find out. That we'll find out by deciding what cause we're putting in motion. Are we saying all is in divine order? Then all is in divine order. Now, just think for a minute. How many of you have a little questing, a little thinking in your heart of what's going on? How many of you are curious as to know what the circumstances are? How many of you are curious to know why you're treating that all is in divine order? Don't ever do it. Don't let the people tell you what their problem is. We are exquisite practitioners. We are practicing the law of cause and effect. We are practicing that whatever we think about, we empower to be. Now, whatever might be a negative experience, we just release it and we put in its place the positive experience. We are the masters. We are the creators of ourselves and our world. We are the only people that there are, the only beings that there are. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe in the appearances that you hear about? You don't know it. You don't know it. It may be far from true. Or are you going to create your own appearances? And what sort of appearances do you want to create? You want to create the appearance that all is in divine order? Sounds cool to me. You want to create the appearance that all is in divine order? Totally, now and forevermore? Sounds good to me. You want to create that you are not interested in any of the circumstances. You only know all is in divine order. But the family thinks you're cold. The family thinks you're not interested in them. The family thinks this and that. Hey, my true family is not one of flesh and blood, but one that follows and believes as I believe. So here we are, the true family. And what are we doing? What we're doing is that we are saying that appearances are real. If that's what you want, go for it. Do you believe that appearances are real? The thought flashed to my mind. When you are a little child, you can't drive a car, you can't drive a car, you can't have a license, you're too young, you're too young, you're too young. Come the age when you can get your license at 16, then you have your license. And then you go through your entire lifetime. And then you start turning 80 and 90 years old. You can't drive a car, you're too old. You can't drive a car, you're too young or too old. All illusions, all appearances, they don't mean a thing. We empower them to control our life. And when we empower them, what are we doing to them? Giving them our total being. I think it's time that we start believing in whatever it is we want to believe in and forget about the appearances. Don't believe in appearances. Don't ever believe in appearances. Don't believe in appearances. You're better than that.